So, hey guys, welcome back. We have another one for you, and we have a returning guest. His name is Sam Dolan. Sam Dolan has been interviewed before with his books about The Line Rider and El Paso. El Paso, the story of El Paso in the 1800s and 1900s. And then we had him on recently to talk about the new show, Into the Wild Frontier, which is showing on the INSP network. If you want to find out more about Into the Wild Frontier, go to insp.com. And in the upper right-hand corner, you're going to find a little find button, a little find locator button. And you're going to tap on that with your cursor, and you're going to put your zip code in, and it's going to bring all the places that you can find INSPT, whether INSP TV, whether it's going to be on your satellite network or your cable network or on any of the streaming apps. It's going to list all the places you can find INSP. Now, I urge you also to bookmark INSP on your tablet or computer or laptop and get that bookmark, because you're going to want to go back to INSP several times a day. Now, I go into INSP for research about people, what's coming up on the next episode. It could be Wagon Train, or it could be Gunsmoke, or any of the classic TV westerns that I love to watch. And it's also got the new stuff out there, including the new one that Sam is involved with, and that is Into the Wild Frontier, and you're going to love it. And that is on INSP TV. Please go to insp.com for information. And remember, heroes live here. So we have Sam Dolan back. He is the executive producer, the EP, for season 4, and he's got a new one, a brand new one coming out about a guy named Jim Baker. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Mike. Thanks again for having me.
Yeah, just, you know what, that Into the Wild Frontier, I'm watching it on my TV screen. It's bold, it's big, it's history, it's storytelling, it's everything that I love. And if you want to find out really about it, go back into our last podcast. We spoke about the difficulties of producing an event that's outdoors and in the wild, just like it says, Into the Wild Frontier. And Sam and I broke it all down. Actually, Sam broke it all down about the difficulties of it. But season 4, congratulations to season 4.
Well, thanks, Mike. Yeah, the season premieres on Sunday, March 24th, just a couple days from now at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's like you mentioned, it's the premiere of season 4. Our company, Warm Springs Productions, has been producing Into the Wild Frontier for INSP now since 2021. So this is the fourth season. And it's a great season. It's action packed, and that kicks into high gear with this first episode on Jim Baker.
So are they, INSP must love what you guys are doing, and they're coming back to your production group and saying, we want more. Is there season 5 being planned? Are you waiting for the okay, or has the okay been given?
Well, I think that's all based on, you know, how the audience continues to receive this show. It's been a very popular show, and we do other work for INSP as well. We also produce The Tall Tales of Jim Bridger, which just aired at the beginning of this year. It was also a scripted series, and it just finished its first season. And so we're always excited about these shows. Our team is very motivated. We have obviously a great setting here in Montana to make westerns. We have an excellent crew. A lot of them have been working on the show now for several years. And there's a lot of stories to tell in the history of the West. It's such a big epic story that it's almost endless in terms of its possibilities. But yeah, this season is an especially action-packed season. Previous seasons of the series have sort of introduced the world of the Rocky Mountain fur trade and the frontier during sort of a period of exploration. So in season 1, we covered a little bit of the Lewis and Clark expedition and John Coulter, and we introduced some of the early mountain men figures. And we continued that with season 2 with characters like Jim Bridger and Kit Carson and others. Season 3 was kind of a throwback to the 18th century, so sort of the period of Daniel Boone. now we're back to the 19th century and we're kind of moving things forward a bit. So season four, most of it takes place during the 1840s, which is a significant period of change in the history of the West. And obviously change is a continuing theme when you talk about the American West, but that's especially true of the 1840s, which is this period of continued exploration, some settlement of the West, the war with Mexico, the California Gold Rush. There's a lot going on during this time period. And so this episode on Jim Baker kind of kickstarts that. Baker is sort of the next generation of mountain men. So these are the guys that came along in the late 1830s and into the 1840s. And they almost missed out on some of the fur trade. I mean, it was still going on. It wasn't quite what it had been in the 1820s and early 30s. It was still a big deal, but we were sort of on the edge of a lot of change in the 1840s. And so this next generation of mountain men, they start to head out west. And they're now under the tutelage of that last generation. So guys like Jim Bridger, Kit Carson, and others, they were the proteges once upon a time. Well, now they're the mentors. And in this episode, Jim Baker, who heads out west in his early 20s, he's got a great mentor in Jim Bridger. You probably couldn't have a better mentor out west than Jim Bridger. So it's a really great episode.
I noticed something. I'm going to go back to you, to Lewis and Clark, because I'm working my way through Lewis and Clark. Great story. Is the authenticity. And you, it may sound stupid if I say it wrong, and you can hang up the phone, but like you're a perfectionist in some way, and that is the fact that you like true authenticity. How hard are these shows, not shows, but how hard are these episodes for you as an EP, an executive producer, to make sure that the clothing is right, the weapon is right, the shoes are right? Because I'm sure you have some tough critics out there that are waiting to go, oh, that gun was made in 1930. There's no way the Jim Baker would have that.
Well, the material culture of the Old West is very important to people that love Westerns. And so you have a lot of folks out there who are very informed when it comes to clothing and how clothing changed in different times. It's very different between the 1820s, the 1840s, and then the 1870s. How weapons change, that's a very obvious sort of technology that sort of can represent different eras. And so you do want to get those things right. I feel that with every passing season, we've had sort of enhanced authenticity. It's gotten better all the time. This season, I think, is especially authentic. Our costume designer, Kevin Hirschberger, from Virginia, he just loves history and this whole time period, and he did a great job of sort of developing the looks that we went with this season and kind of establishing the 1840s and even into the 1850s a little bit. We start to have military costuming during the later part of this season. So you get into the looks of the Mexican War and then other eras. And then the weapons are very important. You know, our production designer, Jerry Hornbaker, our armorer, Mark Brown, and others involved in that aspect of it, they have a lot of expertise. And so we're in this era where we want to show kind of the changeover from the old flintlock, weapons and ignition to, you know, percussion, which is where you have a metallic cap that kind of ignites the round in the gun when the trigger's pulled. So we're making that transition from one type of firearms technology to another. It kind of also speaks to this period of time. Some of our characters start to carry early Colt revolvers, which wouldn't have been a thing in the 1820s, but as you head into the late 1830s and definitely into the 1840s, that starts to become more of a thing. So these are all little details that you really want to get right, because there are parts of your audience that really appreciates it when you get it right, and they're often sort of disappointed when you don't. And then there's other layers of authenticity. You want to make sure your actors can ride horses well. Horses are a big part of this season. Dutch Lunick and his daughter Megan were our wranglers. They had a great team. They're real authentic Montana ranch people, so they're very good at what they do. So, you know, there's all types of authenticity. The locations that we used, you want to sort of match the looks of the places where these events took place, and Montana's great for that. So, yeah, to answer your question in sort of a long-winded way, yeah, authenticity is very important. And I think, especially in this day and age with Westerns, your audience, they know the difference, and they really do care about that stuff.
But I think that, too, kind of goes back to the support. I'm sure you're getting huge support from INSP to make sure that it looks authentic. They probably have, in discussion and pre-production, are like, we want this to be the biggest, boldest ever.
Well, sure, yes. I think we all went into this with sort of an agreed-upon sense that we really wanted to have an ambitious season that had a lot of action. In INSP, they're a Westerns channel. They really, sort of the culture of the network, they really love this sort of storytelling. So it's very important to those folks. Our network executives are keenly interested in the stories that we're telling and the ways that we execute those stories. They're very invested in that. And it's a great collaboration between the production company and INSP. So, yeah, we all went into this with, it was a big joint group effort between folks at the network, folks at Warm Springs Productions, and then everyone that made the show possible in the field just every day. Our DP, Andrew Weed, who was our cinematographer, he did a great job, especially with this episode, which is just almost wall-to-wall battle.
Wow.
It was ambitious. This episode was one of the biggest battles that we've ever done with the series. You know, there have been, you know, guns and our big part of the West. Battles are a big part of the history of the West. They've always been a part of the show. But this is, on a different scale. We spent just several days, filming the battle sequence that's sort of the centerpiece of this Jim Baker episode.
That is so cool. If you're wondering who we're talking to Sam Dolan. He is the executive producer on Into the Wild Frontier that you can find on INSP TV. If you want to find more about where you can find it, go to INSP.com. And remember that INSP heroes live here. Let's talk about Jim Baker. The story, sure. The title of Jim Baker, A Born Leader, it premieres March 24th, kicking off season 4. Let's talk about Jim Baker. What kind of man was he? Why is it that the title is A Born Leader?
Well, Jim Baker was one of those Western figures who was just intrepid. That's the word I think of when I think of Jim Baker. No one really knows where he got this sort of instinct. I don't know that it's something that anyone can teach a person, but he was a born leader, and he had to prove that at a rather young age, very early in his career as a mountain man. His baptism of fire, as you might say, came about very early on. Jim Baker was from the Midwest. He fell in with Jim Bridger and Jim Bridger's partner, Henry Frabe, also known as Henry Frapp. And Bridger and Frabe were veteran mountain men. They knew the ropes. They took Baker out west. They sort of schooled him. Baker did the usual year out on the frontier, learning how to trap and hunt and trade among the indigenous people in the Rocky Mountain West. And then he went home. But he loved the frontier so much that he sort of turned around and went back. And in the summer of 1841, Baker returns to the frontier. And he goes specifically to the area that would be sort of the boundary or the border of the present-day states of Wyoming and Colorado to team back up with Jim Bridger. At this point, you're starting to see a real change in the dynamic of the fur trade. So, you know, in the old days, the trading companies, they would go out on these expeditions, they would trap for a year or two, they would take pelts back to St. Louis, and they wouldn't stay in the frontier very much. You know, they would go out, They would have these experiences and these adventures, and then they would go home. Well, now you're starting to see Bridger and others establishing trading outposts on the frontier, where they can interact directly with the indigenous people on the frontier for trading purposes. So there's sort of a permanence now. They're starting to settle in the West. At the same time, this very same summer of 1841, you have the beginnings of the sort of the migration from East to West, where you have the first wagon train, the Bidwell-Bartleson party goes West at this time. And so for the indigenous people, particularly in this area, the Arapaho and the Cheyenne, they're starting to see a real challenge. Now you have trappers and traders and different indigenous groups that are all vying for the same resources. And those are finite resources, beaver, bison, you know, and other wildlife. And so a conflict starts to develop, and it sort of busts wide open in the summer of 1841, where trappers who are allied with the Shoshone and other indigenous people essentially are now facing conflict with other plains groups like the Arapaho and the Cheyenne. And that reaches sort of a high water mark or a boiling point in the late summer of 1841 with this massive battle on the Wyoming and Colorado border.
God. I love that. I think what you said is true about, you know, why is Jim Baker, you know, a born leader? Like, it can't be taught. I think there's people who just instinctively have that. Like, they're just, it's in their makeup to be a leader. When is, I'm going to got like two questions at the same time. Is this one episode dedicated to Jim Baker, or is the story so big you had to go into two?
No, this particular episode is focused on Baker, and especially this moment where he had to find that quality within him to step up and be a leader. You know, he had gotten the mentorship of Jim Bridger and Henry Frabe, and he had learned sort of the ropes of being a mountain man on the frontier, but he'd never been confronted with this sort of existential life or death crisis that he found himself in that summer. And here he was in his early 20s, and he had to take command of this group of 20 or so trappers and Shoshone that were going to find themselves surrounded and in a really desperate battle with the Arapaho and the Cheyenne. And by some accounts, they are confronted by many dozens or possibly hundreds of Arapaho and Cheyenne. And so Baker and his party have to dig in. They have to sort of fortify their position. And with very limited ammunition and supplies, you know, they have to sort of dig in and fight this battle out until the last. And it's really a fight for their lives. And I'm not sure where Baker got the instinct. I mean, at one point, there's a moment where leadership sort of collapses. And Baker has to take command. And by most accounts, he just did take command. And that's not with any kind of military training, you know, or anything else. And his story reminds me of when I would interview World War II veterans or Vietnam veterans or other combat veterans for documentaries I worked on for the History Channel. And they themselves couldn't always answer where they got that moment. They just knew something had to be done. And if they didn't do it, well, who else would? And so Baker finds himself in that position, and he has to lead this group of people as a rather young person himself through a very desperate battle.
That's great. So then on the research side, was there a lot of information about Jim Baker? Was there a ton of it out there because of due to the time period? Or, you know, what was the research? Because I can't imagine, you know, as you get closer to the 1900s, sometimes, you know, when you're doing your Lion Rider books about the, you know, about the border wars and stuff, there's so much information there because it's kind of getting into the modern era. Was there a lot of information about Jim?
A lot less than one would hope. you know, there have been many books written about mountain men like Jim Bridger and Kit Carson and others. Baker, there have been a lot fewer things done on Baker, although he's had books written about him, and those generally lead you to primary sources, journals, diaries, and other materials. There's been some sort of archaeological sort of work done on the battleground where this incident took place, and sometimes that's very revealing of how things unfolded. What you don't have, that you might have with, let's say you're doing a show about, you know, a gunfight in the 1880s that was reported in the local newspapers at the time, and then maybe there are court records or coroner's inquests and things that you can find useful. You don't have that very often with the fur trade era, but you do have other sources, oral histories and the sort of memories of these participants. Baker had a long life, and so he lived long enough to be able to talk about his career and, you know, his children and other people that he knew. They sort of picked that up and continued his legacy. In time, he became a very noteworthy figure in Colorado and in Wyoming. You know, the mountain man era sort of ended, but he continued on as a frontiersman and scout and hunter, and he was a very, very well-known and noteworthy marksman as well. So there are some things. I mean, fortunately, he and some of these other of the younger sort of generation, that last generation of mountain men, well, some of them lived into the 1880s, 90s, and into the early 1900s, and so there would be interviews with some of them. So among all of those things, you're able to kind of cobble together a narrative, you know, based on, you know, what you can find out. And then you have to kind of match that with what you're capable of doing in the field. And that involves your location scouting and the sort of the logistics of your production. And locations actually became a key element for this episode. Paul Epstein, who was the showrunner on seasons 1 and 2 of the series, well, he collaborated in the field with me on this season. And we went around for weeks, you know, looking at different locations, and we found a great spot, you know, that would serve as sort of the fort that Baker and his crew have to defend. And just serendipitously, two large pine trees had fallen over along the banks of the Bitterroot River at some point in the last couple of years. And that became the basis of the sort of log, you know, breastworks that the crew builds. And it's just very fortunate that they happened to be there. So that ended up being our battleground. We shot this sequence about 20 or so miles south of Missoula along the Bitterroot River and in the summer. And it was just great.
Well, we're talking to Sam Dolan, executive producer of Into the Wild Frontier. Season 4 premieres March 24th with the Jim Baker, A Born Leader story. You're going to want to see that one. If you want to know more about INSP and Into the Wild Frontier, go to insp.com and you can find out where to view it. In the upper right-hand corner, there's a little spot that says like Find INSP. You tap it, you put in your area code, your zip code. It's going to give you a listing of all the places you can get INSP TV. There is so much to see. There is programming, that's amazing programming, and then amazing series like Into the Wild Frontier. Again, season 4 premieres March 24th, starting off with the Jim Baker, A Born Leader. And remember, INSP TV, the heroes live here. You might have answered the question already, but I'm thinking about like in closing, like, is there a takeaway? Is there a takeaway on Jim Baker? Is there something that in his life that as you were writing and not writing, but creating and putting it all together, that a takeaway from Jim Baker that people remember him by, like Wyatt Earp's got the OK Corral. No matter what Wyatt Earp does, it's going to be the OK Corral. Is there a takeaway on Jim Baker?
I think this incident is probably the big takeaway. I mean, he had a long and storied life with a lot of adventures, but this was the moment. This battle in 1841 was the moment that sort of defined him and established his reputation. And it wasn't a reputation that he went looking for. He was not, necessarily a violent man per se. He was, he wasn't a combat veteran or anything like that. He was a young man who went west to, seek a life on the frontier. And that is a life that appeals to a lot of people of his generation, and found himself in really remarkable circumstances, and had to lead a group of Shoshone warriors and mountain men in a really tough battle. The actor that plays him, Michael Denny, did a terrific job. He's a good actor. He's got a great cast working around him, and he does a great job of telling that story, going from sort of a wet behind the ears newcomer to kind of a hardened veteran of the West by the time it's all over. And, that's the story of the mountain man, especially in the 1840s.
So great. I tried to find a bumper on YouTube or something. I couldn't find it, but it looks fantastic. What's up next? Can you talk about the next one after the March 24th? What are we going to see next?
Certainly the next several weeks. I mean, they're just terrific episodes. I'll leave you with this at least. I'll talk a little bit about Jim Beckwith. That'll be the second episode. And Beckwith has been a recurring character in the series. We highlighted him way back in season one, kind of at the beginning of his career on the frontier. This is sort of the next chapter. Beckwith was a former slave. He was an African-American who went to the frontier, became very immersed in indigenous culture, especially with the Crow, was a trapper, a mountain man. We cover him during his period of riding for the Army during the Mexican War, going up and down the Santa Fe Trail, and that is a great episode, and that will be the second episode this season, and I'm looking forward to everyone seeing that.
Wow. All right. Well, you guys heard it. Go find it. Into the Wild Frontier, the Jim Baker, A Born Leader Story on INSP, and INSP.com is going to worry. Place you're going to be able to find the area that you're going to find it or watch it on your cable or streaming or satellite device, however you view it. Thanks again to Sam for coming back. I'll see if we can't have him come back to tell some more stories, because I love hearing from him. He's just a great storyteller. And make sure that you catch season 4, The Jim Baker, A Born Leader, premieres March 24th on INSP TV. Again, I appreciate you guys. Anything before we go, Sam? Anything?
I think that pretty well covers it. Once again, I'm so grateful for the interest in the series. And to any of your listeners out there, I think if you get to check this out, you'll be rewarded with a great experience. It's a wonderful series.
Awesome. I can't wait. All right, folks. I appreciate you. As always, if you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, please leave a rating and review. You can leave a comment or a question. If you have a question about the podcast and what you're hearing here, I'll get it to Sam and we'll get an answer to you as fast as possible. If you can, if you're listening on Spotify or iTunes or iHeartRadio or Podbean or Stitcher, wherever you listen to the podcast, please leave a rating and review. It totally helps with distribution. And you can hit that subscribe or follow button, because I got more podcasts coming up, and I think we'll be able to maybe sweet talk Sam into coming back and talking more about Into the Wild Frontier. As always, I appreciate you. I appreciate Sam. Safe travels, and we'll see you soon.